The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Well, even though we're in September, you know, it's still not too late to have ice cream. And there's an interesting question, Reader's Digest. Why can't you find grape ice cream? Ever wonder why you can find Grace Ice Pops but not grape ice cream? When you think about common fruit flavors, grape is probably one of the first to come to mind. But as common as it is in candy, popsicles, there's nowhere to be found in ice cream. Weird? Right. If you've ever wondered why can't you find grape ice cream, well, it's a grape question. Terrible pun. Luckily, there are legitimate reasons for it. There are actually a couple of legitimate reasons people rarely sell grape ice cream, none of which has to do with the bizarre rumor that the FDA banned it from making dogs sick. The first has to do with the fruit's color. Grapes contain a compound called isoniazid. It's the source of the purple pigment, says Jim Mudford, fruit professional, cookbook author, and chemical engineer. This compound, while a powerful antioxidant, can change how the grape puree freezes. The compound actually breaks down, which affects the color and the flavor to an extent. This is why most grape-flavored desserts have food dyes. The acidic nature of grapes makes them tough to ice creamify as well, Mumford asked. The acid in grapes, when mixed with dairy, will cause some chemical reactions, a.k.a. spoilage. So the acid must be processed out of the grape juice before blending, which, while achievable, is another step other flavors don't have to take. Grapes have high water content, which is why eating them is an easy way to stay hydrated. But it also means when you freeze them to make ice cream, they'll turn into icy chunks. That's all fine and dandy for an ice pop recipe, but not what anyone wants from a scoop of smooth ice cream. The creamy ice cream is difficult to produce in large quantity, explains Jenny Abreu, author of Sassy Food. The texture would be off and not so creamy. Plus, leaving the skins would ruin the texture, but peeling grapes away takes away most of the flavor. There are small artisan ice cream shops that make Grace ice cream or sorbet, D'Abreu says. Homemade grape ice cream is also possible. She cuts up chunks of grapes in her batch of vanilla or lavender ice cream and buys it to be a wonderful, yummy treat. If I want the blend of grapes in the ice cream, I make the base with more cream than I would with other flavors, and there you go, she adds. It's going large scale for mass markets where it gets tricky. Cherry ice cream, but no grape ice cream. We know what you're thinking. Cherry Garcia is one of the most popular flavors ever from Ben & Jerry's. Grapes and cherries are both about 81% water. Wouldn't those ice-cold cherries pose the same problem as grapes? The short answer is yes. But the fact that people go crazy for cherry means it's worth the effort. While grape doesn't have nearly as strong an association with ice cream, if big-name brands did make grape ice cream, even using grape flavor instead of the fruit itself like in some sherbets, they probably wouldn't sell enough pints to make it worthwhile. In fact, Ben & Jerry's actually did try to make grape ice cream once, but it got mixed reviews from the taste-testing guests at the company's flavor lab, so the brand never bothered moving forward with it. And on that same subject, what's the difference between gelato and ice cream? Do you prefer gelato or ice cream? When it comes to frozen treats, they're certainly not all created exactly equal. First of all, what is gelato? Before learning the difference between gelato and ice cream, let's first find out, what is gelato? Gelato surfaced during the Renaissance when alchemist Cosimo Ruggieri created the first gelato flavor, the Fior di Latte, at the court of the Medici family in Florence. The Sicilian Francesco Procopio Cuto made gelato available to the public when he opened Café Le Procope in Paris in 1686. Traditional flavors of gelato include custard, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry, hazelnut, pistachio, lemon, raspberry, and peach. More modern flavors have developed, including pineapple, tiramisu, banana, mango, yogurt, stracciatella, sabagione, and amarena. According to Marino, not all gelato is created equal, however. In this day and age where artisanal ice cream is everywhere, high-quality ingredients don't always separate gelato from American ice cream by definition. And there's a picture of a big pile of gelato here. What is ice cream? Though its history spans worldwide and over centuries, ice cream has become an American dessert staple. In fact, 9% of American cow's milk production is dedicated to serving up this frozen treat. But is gelato versus ice cream just a pair of different names for the same treat? We certainly know different countries like to call the same food different things. But no, ice cream and gelato are similar, but they're far from the same dessert. So what's the difference between gelato and ice cream? There are four major differences between Italian gelato and American ice cream, according to Morgan Morano, the CEO and founder of Morano Gelato Incorporated, a small New England-based company that produces authentic Italian gelato. The first big difference between gelato and ice cream is the gelato ingredients. So what are the primary gelato ingredients and how do they differ from ice cream? Gelato is typically made from milk, cream, and a few yolks, depending on which flavor is being produced, Morano says. Sicilian-style gelato ingredients include water, cream, some milk, and a few yolks. American ice cream, however, is generally equal parts heavy cream, whole milk, and a lot of egg yolk. Another major difference is that gelato is much lower in butterfat than American ice cream. While ice cream has a butterfat content of 14 to 25%, gelato fat content ranges from 4 to 9%. More differences. The second difference between gelato and ice cream is that gelato is denser than American ice cream. While ice cream can have 50% or more air churned into it, gelato has 20 to 30%. The difference between good and gelato and ice cream is that gelato is served 10 to 15 degrees warmer than American ice cream. The warmer temperature reinforces the creamy texture of the gelato and the bold flavors as they more quickly melt in your mouth, says Morano. As for gelato versus ice cream preparations, there is a stark difference between gelato and ice cream equipment. Gelato is produced in what is typically called a laboratory that contains a pasteurizer, batch freezer specific for gelato making, and an immersion blender, says Morano. Gelato makers use a discontinuous batch freezer at minus 12 degrees before putting it out on display. On the other hand, ice cream is produced using continuous freezers, typically conveyed through a freezer tunnel at minus 40 degrees to give it a longer shelf life. The product is then held in a cold room until it reaches minus 18 degrees centigrade. Curious about your other favorite frozen treats like these? Sorbet is typically dairy-free and consists of fruit, sugar, and water, says Morano. Sherbet is mostly water with a little bit of dairy or butterfat, so very close to a sorbet, but with the addition of a bit of dairy to help smooth it out and give it a creamier finish. Where can you buy gelato? Nope. Gelato is not an exclusive delicacy that you can only get in little Italian shops. You can probably find some delicious gelato in a grocery store nearby. One of the most popular gelato brands is Talente. They don't make regular ice cream, but they produce gelato that consumers can't get enough of. Get a taste of some of their scrumptious flavors, such as caramel cookie crunch, chocolate peanut butter cup. Well-known ice cream producer Breyers also has gelato, which you could likely find at any major grocery. And everyone's favorite grocery hub, Trader Joe's, carries gelato too. Another interesting subject. Why do people say bless you after someone sneezes? You'll never look at bless you the same way. Could you imagine someone sneezing and then just sitting in silence watching them as they compose themselves? We're cringing at the awkwardness just thinking about it. But aside from just making both of you and the sneezer feel uncomfortable saying bless you in response to a sneeze, was just one of those little etiquette rules that have been ingrained in us since childhood. But why do you say bless you when someone sneezes? We have some answers for you. There are many theories about the origins of the phrase bless you, but no theories circle back to the idea of superstition. Google states that superstition is the excessively credulous belief in and reverence for supernatural beings. What do ghosts and demons have to do with achoos, you ask? Well, for starters, one of the most popular ideas date back to the time of the bubonic plague. Since one of the main symptoms of this illness was sneezing, I never knew that, Pope Gregory believed that saying God bless you as a tiny prayer after someone sneezed would shield them from certain death. Another theory comes from an ancient belief that sneezing may actually free the spirit from the body, unless, of course, God blessed you and prevented this from happening. Some even believed that the spirits that left the body were only evil, so if they were expelled from the body, the evil spirits would be free to roam with everyone else. And trust us, you did not want to be rocking around with evil spirits. This is just one of those interesting facts you can share around the dinner table and at parties if you are so inclined. Now, what does Gesundheit mean? In addition to saying bless you, you may hear the word Gesundheit being thrown around. Gesundheit is actually the German word for health. The word was formed as a combination of the word Gesund, meaning healthy, and Heit, meaning hood. After a sneeze, offering that person good health was believed to hold off any illness that may come. Since many immigrants came to America from Germany, plus American soldiers fought two world wars in Germany, it makes sense why this word has been seemingly woven into the American vocabulary. Why all of this bless you business is based around superstition and ancient beliefs, what's the harm in wishing someone good health? May all your sneezes keep the evil spirits at bay, fight off any serious illness, and leave you with the beautiful satisfaction that a good sneeze offers. And the next subject in the Reader's Digest is how to boost your energy. Do you feel pooped all day? Solution might not to get more sleep. And there's a drawing of a young woman in front of her computer, laptop computer, sitting there and her head's down the table and she's sound asleep, snoring away. Carol Heffernan, a 43-year-old from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, regularly felt worn out from working, shuttling her two kids to school and play dates, and taking care of the housework. But when COVID-19 hit in March 2020, and the kids were suddenly home all day and learning remotely, her run-of-the-mill weariness quickly turned into full-on exhaustion. All that extra responsibility and the mental load, it just added up, she says. I felt grumpy and tired, and it wasn't due to lack of sleep. If there's one thing many of us have in common is that we're tired. Doctors even have a name for it. Tired all the time, or TAT, T-A-T-T, for short. The solution isn't always as simple as getting more sleep. Nearly a quarter of people who get 7 or more hours of rest a night report that they still wake up feeling tired most days. A few weeks after fatigue set in, Heffernan decided to drop everything and go for a walk, which she hadn't done since the pandemic began. I just wanted to be by myself, she says. I needed a break. When she returned, she felt recharged and decided to make a habit of it. Doing something active when you're feeling sluggish will actually increase your energy, not consume the little you have. In fact, researchers at the University of Georgia found that just 10 minutes of low or moderate intensity exercise gave study participants a notable energy boost. Another recent study, people who committed to working out for 20 minutes 3 times a week increased their energy levels by 20% in 6 weeks. When we don't work out regularly, our muscles can become weakened, so when we do use them in everyday activity, we're more tired, explains Dr. Yufeng Lin, an integrative medicine physician at the Cleveland Clinic Center for Integrative and Lifestyle Medicine. Exercise also works its magic at the cellular level. The mitochondria, the parts of cells that provide energy to muscles, grow more powerful and numerous after aerobic exercise, providing a continuous source of increased energy. Now Heffernan goes for daily 45-minute stroll. The walks feed me spiritually, emotionally, and physically, she says. I have something to look forward to every afternoon. I'm in a better mood, and after putting the kids to bed, I have the energy to stay up and talk to my husband. Getting more exercise isn't the only defense against the TAT syndrome. Here are some other strategies to explore. 15 minutes off, 90 minutes on. When it comes to optimizing energy over the long haul, it's about getting into a rhythm of periods of exertion and rest, says Dane Jensen, CEO of Third Factor, a coaching company that helps people perform better under pressure. To stay energized over the day, you need a 15 to 20-minute break every 90 minutes. Jensen suggests choosing breaks from 4 complementary categories, physical, walking or stretching, cognitive, doing crossword puzzles or Sudoku, emotional, phoning a loved one, and spiritual, walking in the woods or practicing a religion. If you've been working at a computer, take a walk outside. If you've been doing spring cleaning, sit down and call a friend. It's not just enough to say, okay, I'm going to take a break every once in a while. You want to do it intentionally and spend that time on something that's actually going to give you energy. Make more red blood cells. Fatigue is often connected to not having enough of two key nutrients, iron and vitamin B12. When you don't get enough iron, you can develop iron deficiency anemia, which means your body doesn't produce enough healthy red blood cells. When there are not enough red blood cells, less oxygen is carried to the cells to allow them to generate energy, which causes fatigue, says Dr. Lin. Vitamin B12 also is a key to creating red blood cells. I actually take vitamin D, and it really has made a difference. Because iron and the B vitamins are commonly absorbed from red meat and shellfish, people who follow a vegetarian or vegan diet are more at risk of deficiencies. These and other vitamin and mineral deficiencies can be identified with a blood test and treated with supplements and a change in diet. Don't assume mental health. Some people are genetically predisposed to depression, and others develop as a result of difficult circumstances. Rates of depression in the United States, for example, tripled during the pandemic, rising from 8% to 28%. If you are dragging yourself through the normal task of daily living or are unable to complete them because of excess fatigue, it could be a sign that you slipped into depression. Other symptoms also include loss of appetite and irritability. Ask your doctor for a mental health screening. a talk therapy can help, as can antidepressants. Careful with those simple carbs. When your body digests foods, it turns it into glucose, which is then sent by way of all your blood to all of your muscles and organs, including your brain. Your blood sugar naturally fluctuates during this process, and when it's low, you can feel sluggish. A simple way to keep your blood sugar consistent is to eat a meal or snack every 2 or 3 hours. What you eat can also affect your energy levels. Consuming too many simple carbohydrates, for instance juice, candy bars, and white bread, can lead to an increase in blood sugar, prompting your body to produce insulin, which then makes your blood sugar drop. Instead, reach for complex carbs, such as whole grains and non-starchy vegetables, which are digested more slowly and give you a steady stream of energy. It could be a condition. If you've been unusually tired for more than a month, ask your doctor whether an underlying problem could be behind it. One common culprit is sleep apnea, a condition that causes breathing to start and stop throughout the night, often rousing sufferers from deep sleep multiple times a night. The condition can also lead to other issues, including cardiovascular disease and diabetes. Sleep apnea affects more than 20% of Americans, and those numbers are on the rise, likely because of growing rates of obesity. It can also be treated with a machine that pushes pressurized air into the nose or mouth during the night to make sure your airways stay open. Another issue to opt for is hypothyroidism, which affects about 5% of the population and almost always includes tiredness as a symptom. The condition is caused when the thyroid, a butterfly-shaped gland in the neck, produces too few hormones. Thyroid hormones control your metabolism, which is like the engine in your car, says Dr. Lynn. When your engine runs too low, the car drives too slowly. Hypothyroidism may also result in weight gain, slow movement in speech, and sensitivity to cold. The condition is most common in women over 60 and can be treated with medication. 60-second fixes. Boost your energy in a minute or less. Pour some peppermint tea. According to a study published in the North American Journal of Psychology, sniffing peppermint helped reduce fatigue while driving. Researchers also found that those who drink peppermint tea are more alert and complete mental tests faster. Opening the blinds. Exposing yourself to natural sunlight, especially right when you wake up in the morning, can help suppress melatonin, the chemical in your body that makes you sleepy. Take a few deep breaths. When you're stressed, it's natural to breathe a little bit shallower, which can increase the amount of oxygen that reaches the cells. To counteract that, try breathing in through your nose for 4 seconds, holding your breath for 4 seconds, and then slowly exhaling for 4 seconds. Number 4, chew a piece of sugar-free gum. Gosh, if you had peppermint gum, that'd solve two problems at once, wouldn't it? It's not exactly clear why, but numerous studies have shown that chewing gum increases alertness. Even before science confirmed it, during World War I, American soldiers were issued gum to help them focus. Sing along to a song. Listening to music can increase levels of happy chemicals, such as serotonin and oxytocin, and belting out lyrics makes you breathe deeper and make in more oxygen, boosting your energy. Of course, you don't want to hear me sing because you'd fall asleep if you did. Crazy eights. Can the shape of your house impact your health? That was a popular theory in the 1850s when a vegetarian phrenologist named Orson Squire Fowler argued that eight-sided homes provided the best light, ventilation, and beneficial living space. Fowler's theory touched off an octagon building fad. Several hundred octagonal homes survive around the country. Your true stories in 100 words. On the plus side, the university where I teach has a policy that grades in an 8 or 9 receive a plus designation. 78 is a C plus, 89 is a B plus. A student received his final grade and was adamant that I left off the plus sign. I looked at the grade. The kid got a 58. I told him he'd failed the course. I know, he said, but I earned an F plus, not an F. You want me to change this to an F plus, I asked. He said yes and left happy when I agreed. The mother of all broken records. I said to my daughter on the phone, your grandmother is getting more forgetful and more repetitive every day. If you ever get like that, you'll tell me, won't you? My daughter replied, yes, Mom, you already told me this once. This little piggy to park. Our family goes on an annual outdoor gospel singing event at Beacon Beach near Harrison, Arkansas. It draws big crowds from states all around. One year while we were enjoying the songs, we were starting to see a full-grown hog wandering through the crowd. He didn't seem to be bothered by the people or the music. He strolled around as if he owned the place. Finally, he went on his merry way. Some folks are suggesting the park has now changed its name to Bacon Park. A new reason to smile. I am Russian. By the way, her name is Yulia Romanova Simpson. But for the last 5 years, I've lived in Kansas. What brought me to this country was my American husband, John. I work in a department store, where my coworkers pronounce my Russian name so sweetly. Every time I hear it, I feel as though my mom is embracing me. In my native country, people believe that Americans always keep big smiles on their faces, even if they don't have a real reason to do so. The American smile, the Russians have decided, is not genuine. Last year, John encouraged me to see my mom back in Russia. My manager even gave me a month off for the trip. When you live an ocean apart from your family, you need at least a month to visit them. I bought a plane ticket, packed my suitcase, then caught COVID-19. My mood became gray as I realized I couldn't go see my mom. A couple of weeks later, my sweet coworker, Miss Donna, asked me, "So what's happening with your trip to Russia?" I told her that I had to cancel and I wouldn't be able to see my mom this year. Miss Donna didn't say anything at first. Then she put on a big American smile and said, "Well, you can come over and see my mom." Oh, my Lord. That's what my husband always says when he is at a loss for words. Imagine, a mom for a loan. I honestly don't know whether I would offer the same to someone in need of mother's warmth, but my new people sure would do it for me. I know that, because of the virus, you shouldn't hug friends, but you can still embrace someone's heart. That's how my heart felt at that moment, hugged. So yes, believe me, the American smile is genuine. 13 Things. What your Amazon driver wants you to know. If you see me go up and down your street 8 times, it's not because I'm lost, because our routes make no sense. They are computer-generated and have us constantly doubling back to where we already were, often by making unsafe turns. Sometimes we have to cross busy 4-lane roads on foot to get to where we need to be. Number 2. That means I do have to block traffic sometimes. Drivers who are stuck behind me swear at me and lay on the horn, a Pittsburgh driver says. Please remember that I'm just trying to do my job and I'm on the way in a minute. Number 3. Amazon uses an app to monitor and score our driving. We can be fired if our score drops too low. But the app is flawless. It penalizes us for braking hard, even when it's the right thing to do. And if the motion of the vehicle jostles our phone, we get flagged for distraction. Some of us wrap our phones in towels and place them in a glove box so they register as little movement as possible. Now Amazon is installing cameras that can detect when we look at our phones or yawn. Many of us see this as an invasion of privacy. Plus, it doesn't address the real concern why we sometimes drive dangerously. Aggressive delivery quotas. Number 4. In a 10-hour shift, we're expected to cart as many as 400 packages to 250 stops. That's about one stop every 3 minutes. To get it all done, we skip meals, and many of us actually run from our vans to each doorstep. And yes, we pee in bottles. I'm not going to drive to a gas station and back, says a driver in Houston. That's a 15 minutes which I can really put you behind. An Amazon spokesperson replies, "These anecdotes don't represent the experience of a vast majority of drivers. In fact, more than 90% of our drivers finish their routes before their scheduled time." Sure they do. Number 5. We wear Amazon uniforms, drive Amazon vans, and are subject to Amazon rules. But most of us don't actually work for Amazon. Instead, we work for a third-party company that lease Amazon vans and pay us to operate them. That allows Amazon to control us without taking responsibility for our working conditions. Says Amazon, "We're proud that our delivery service partner program has empowered more than 2,500 entrepreneurs across the United States, Canada, and Europe." Number 6. By all means, include delivery instructions with your order, especially if your home is hard to find. If I can't find it, your delivery will be sent back to the warehouse. And make sure your house number is visible and illuminated. You wouldn't believe how many people have something, usually bushes, covering the number. We deliver as late as 10 p.m., so a light is helpful. But don't write that you need your delivery at a specific time. I don't see the instructions until I'm at your address. Number 7. Thanks for the snacks. During the pandemic, a lot of customers put out nuts, granola bars, and water for us as a thank you notes. If you'd like to tip us, please do. We prefer cash. According to a Federal Trade Commission complaint, between 2000 and 2019, Amazon secretly withheld tips meant for drivers who used their personal vehicles delivered for the company. Earlier this year, Amazon agreed to pay $61.7 million to settle the claims. The FTC said that in total, Amazon stole nearly one-third of drivers' tips during those years to pad its bottom line. Number 8. Here's what we noticed about rich people. They seem to order more ordinary items, such as toilet paper and cereal, that they could just as easily pick up at a store. They also tend to have long driveways, which are not fun, since Amazon doesn't like us to drive in reverse. But apartment complexes are the worst. We might have 20 deliveries in one complex, and we have to deliver each to a door. So we have to keep running back to our van, says a Dallas driver. If your complex has a parcel locker, please direct us to leave your package there. We wish that you wouldn't order certain items, especially if you live on the third floor of a building without an elevator. For instance, Amazon puts 50-pound dog food bags in boxes, and we're carrying them. The bags move around inside the boxes and throw us off balance. We also dread cases of bottled water. Those suckers are heavy. That's why many of us are in the best shape of our lives. A driver in New York says he lost 60 pounds in 5 months. Another says that after 9 months on the job, my thighs were so massive I felt like a male ballerina. Number 10. This job has obliterated any love we ever had for dogs. I don't care how friendly your dog is, I'm not taking the chance, says the Amazon driver in Pittsburgh. Too many of us have been attacked. Another hazard, customers who are too friendly. One time a customer came to the door with just a towel on, a driver recalls. I hand her the package and she says, do you like what you see? Come in. Nobody has to know. She was attractive, but I wasn't going to risk my job. Amazon drivers are not allowed to go inside a customer's home. I'm sorry, I have to laugh because I used to, when I was in college, I delivered and cleaned carpets. I got a couple of those invitations. But I can leave goods inside your garage. If you download the free Amazon Key app and purchase my Q Smart Garage Door Kit for $30, Amazon can give me one-time access to your garage so I can put your stuff inside, safe from the weather and porch pirates. Another option, a special parcel drop box or plastic bin on your porch. I can't put your package in your mailbag. It's illegal under federal law. Some of us at number 12, some of us have left for FedEx. I'm now a part-time driver for FedEx, and I'm making more than I did working full-time at Amazon, a former Amazon driver in Houston says. FedEx also requires to take breaks. We can get fired if we don't. While Amazon encourages us to take breaks, we really can't afford to take any, says a driver in Little Rock, Arkansas. And if we do happen to finish early, our managers often send us out to rescue another driver who's behind. Number 13. Still, the job has its perks. It's nice not being in an office, and most of us make at least $15 an hour. There are also heartwarming moments, such as when a customer offers us a home-cooked meal to go, or when we get to a house and there's a kid at the door eagerly anticipate when we are there to deliver. When people see us pull up in the van, they usually break into big smiles. How about a couple of quotable quotes? Anytime we use the word if, we put doubt if we put doubt on whatever comes next, Michael Strahan, talk show host. I hate when people press the elevator or crosswalk button right after me. Do you think you press the button better than I do? Issa Rae, actor. When you're young, you're encouraged to try new things. Why not say yes at any age? Why creatively kill yourself off? Mary Steenburgen. There's no them. This is what everybody does. Make a distinction about them. It's just us. Ken Burns. Lazy people work the hardest to make time to make themselves happy just lying on the sofa, eating chocolate, and reading novels. Nigella Lawson, Food Writer. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. COVID-19 immunity. This is the letters section of Consumer Reports. Your article, Living the New Normal, July 21, 2021, made no mention of the 35-plus million Americans who have already been infected with COVID-19 virus and are naturally immune. Your article treats this population no different than the non-immune, non-vaccinated population. The article say immune and non-immune rather than vaccinated and non-vaccinated. I realize this is the official Center for Disease Control and Prevention position, but I have always looked to CR for better and more complete information that our government provides. Editor's note. It's true that people who have recovered from COVID-19 have some natural immunity, but the immune system support response to a SARS-2 COVID-2 infection is unpredictable, and some of the COVID-19 variants emerging recently can reinfect those who have already suffered from the virus. So far, experts tell CR, the evidence suggests that the immune system boosts from vaccine is stronger and longer-lasting than the natural response to COVID-19. That's why the CDC continues to recommend that people who have recovered from COVID-19 still get vaccinated. Avoid burns and bites. Regarding easy ways to protect your skin in the summer, the last time you rated sunscreen, a Trader Joe's spray was at the top. This time it's not even in the rankings. I've been using it with confidence. Now I'm worried that I should stop using it. Editor's note, some previously tested sun creams have been discontinued or, in the case with Trader Joe's spray SPS 50 Plus, reformulated. We couldn't get the reformulated product in time to include in our July issue, but we're testing it now and hope to share those results this fall. As a black woman, I have found my sunscreen needs particularly hard to meet without having to spend more money and time, and I'm still not able to find a sunscreen that isn't ashy or doesn't leave a purple cast. Historically, the African-American community has been excluded from the beauty skincare conversation. Editor's note. You're right to be concerned about the sunscreen you wear. The sun's damaging ultraviolet UV rays can cause skin cancer in black people as well as those with light skin. While choosing a broad-spectrum sunscreen with an SPF of at least 30 is a primary consideration, finding a product that also looks good and feels comfortable is important. The biggest concern I hear from my patients with darker skin is about the cosmetic appearance of the sunscreen once it's applied, says Jenna Laster, MD, an assistant professor of dermatology and director of the Skin Color Program at the University of California, San Francisco. We recently asked a panel of CR staffers that include people of color to test a selection of CR-rated sunscreens. Most told us that they were not satisfied with how the mineral sunscreens absorbed into their skin and left a white cast. They also found that some of the chemical sunscreens, including Alba, Botanica, Hawaiian Coconut Clear Spray SPF 50, were better at absorbing into the skin and didn't leave behind a white residue. For more details on our testing, go to cr.org/skintone0921. In your insect repellent product update, you omitted treating clothing with Permethin. It is excellent. Follow directions carefully. Permethin should never be used on bare skin. Editor's note. We don't currently test permethin-treated clothing in our labs, but other research has shown that it can be an effective insecticide, especially against ticks. It's true that you must apply it directly to your skin. Instead, buy clothing pre-treated with permethin or treat your clothes with permethin spray outdoors. Be sure to wait at least 2 hours to dry completely before you wear it. Storm ready. After 3 fire evacuations, I built a go bag. Stay safe in any storm, July 2021. My husband and I have 1 big bag with emergency and first aid kits, important documents, and more. Each kid also has their own backpack with a change of clothes, water bottle, whistle, and pump flashlight. So much peace of mind once I had packed them. What's your favorite way to make hot wings? Regarding CR's cook-off, the best way to make hot wings at home. Put mine in casserole dish with the sauce and bake them low and slow. They don't get crispy, but everything slides off the bones. The longer you cook them, the spicier they get, so be careful if you like to marinate your wings. I've been air frying mine for a year, and I will never do them any other way now. They come out perfect every time. I prefer grilled. Turn on the oven. Prep a cookie sheet with foil. Spray it and put wings on it. Spread all my oil favorite spices on them and bake them. Yum, yum, yum. What we're testing in our labs. In our 63 labs, we continue to review and grade products. Here are the timely picks for this month. Video doorbells. We tested 23 models. We test for quality of a bottle's video in a regular and low light, the availability of smart features and functions, and how quickly it alerts you to motion and more. The median score was 58 with a range of 28 to 83. The top 83 and the best overall in GoFence and Capable, Hello, Nest Hello Video Doorbell. It works with Alexa and Google, $230. Offers color night vision, Logitech Circle View Doorbell, 961. Works with Apple Smart Home, $200, and that scored an 81. And bargain buy with excellent video quality is the Wiznet Smart Keem Dome D1 for $50, scored an 80. Backpack leaf blowers, just in time for September here. We tested 10 models. How quickly and quiet a model can move leaves and other debris on a lawn. The gas, the median was 78, the range was 66 to 84. The battery, the range median was 82, range was 82 to 83, so they all rated about the same there. Excellent glass mower, the Husqvarna 350BT at $320, got an 84. Powerful battery blower, the Ego LB6002 for $300, got an 83. Quiet for a gas blower, the Still B200 at $280, got an 83 as well. Are battery-powered leaf blowers quieter than gas ones? Worried about noise from your leaf blower harming your hearing or annoying your neighbors? A battery leaf blower may be a better choice than gas. Our test of battery backpack blowers, like the Eco above, found it to be significantly quieter than their gas counterparts, lower than 65 decibels at 50 feet and lower than 85 decibels at your ear, and often without sacrificing power. This means you don't need to wear hearing protection during the use, although it can't hurt. All of the gas back blowers we tested emitted at least 85 dBA, enough to warrant hearing protection. But if you prefer gas, the Still above rates very good for noise at 50 feet. Good news for your neighbors. Laundry detergent for sensitive skin. We tested 9 detergents marketed for sensitive skin. We test for how effectively a detergent pre-treats and removes stains from coffee, dirt, grass, blood, and more. Best overall, Per sale, ProClean Sensitive Skin, 37 cents per load, scored a 75. By the way, the median was 55, the range was 40 to 75. The bargain buy was Kirkland Signature from Costco, Ultra Clean, Free and Clear, 11 cents per load, scored a 59. Individual packs, 7th Generation Free and Clear Pack Sensitive Skin, 32 cents per load, scored a 55. Printers. We tested 113 all-in-one models. We test for print and scan quality, speed, ink use, and more. About the scores, the B&W laser was 74, the range of 69 to 78. That's black and white laser. Color laser, medium 67, range 53 to 69. Inkjet, medium was 53, range was 40 to 69. The black and white laser for a home office, the Brother MFC L5700 for $400, got a 78. Quality color laser, the 8P Color Laser Jet Pro at $330, 67. Inkjet tank printer with cheap ink refills, the Epson Eco Tank at ET2720 at $200, got a 62. Nonstick cookware. We tested 24 models. How quickly water heats in the stock pot, how even in the frying pans brown pancakes, how well the nonstick coating stands up to steel wool, and more. The median was 74, the range was 53 to 81. Top pots for the money. The Kenpour Arlington Metallic 12-piece. It looks like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pans and that many, and 2 spoons and 5 tops. Score was 81. That was $120 for that. Durable coating and dishwasher safe are Swiss Diamond Reinforced, number 6010. 10 pieces at $600. Got it to 78. Bargain buy. Red copper ceramic infused nonstick 10 pieces for $80. And I got a 74, and they're kind of pretty, too. Slim refrigerators for small kitchens. We tested 36 models with 30-inch or narrower widths. We test for temp, uniformity, thermostat control, and more. About the scores, the top freezer had a median of 64, a range of 41 to 75. The bottom freezer had a median of 68, a range of 40 to 79. And the French door had a median of 74, a range of 58 to 81. Budget-friendly top freezer, the Bloomberg BRFT1522SS, $929, got a 75. Tall and skinny bottom and freezer, the Bosch B11CB, 24-inch, $2599, 70 overall score. And the Petite French Door, higher HRF 15N, $1,399, got a 62 overall. Ask our experts. Are the purple varieties of vegetables like cauliflower and carrots better for you than others? That could be. The purple versions of more commonly orange, yellow, and white vegetables are like other purple produce such as eggplant and blueberries. They contain plant pigments called anthocyanins, anthocyanins. These antitoxic chemicals may help prevent chronic illness including heart disease, cancer, and type 2 diabetes. Though there's no recommended intake of violet-hued veggies or anthocyanins, for that matter, eating more of them could be a healthy move, especially given that almost one-third of American adults don't get any of those compounds in their daily diets. Purple potatoes, for example, have been found to have 5 times as much antioxidant activity as white and yellow ones. So if you come across a purple version of your favorite produce, give it a try. Different colored vegetables have unique benefits, says Amy Keating, RD, a nutritionist at Consumer Reports. That's one reason nutritionists recommend eating the rainbow, so you get a wide variety of nutrients. Does it make sense to choose a robotic vacuum when you only have a small amount of floor space to cover? As fun as it is to watch a robotic vacuum do all the work while you put your feet up, it isn't always the most effective cleaning tool, even for a small space. When it comes to performance, CR's tests have found that many affordable robotic vacuums aren't that powerful and don't clean clements or pet hair very well. Choose a robotic vac as your primary cleaner only if you live in a single-level apartment with bare floors, me, no pets, and minimal clutter. The more furniture and other items your robotic vacuum has to navigate, chair legs, loose rugs, tassels, etc., the less likely it is to clean everything thoroughly and quickly. And these little gadgets can be pricey. About half the models on our ratings cost $500 or more. If you don't have space to store a canister vacuum or an upright model, try a stick vac. Most sticks will provide a deeper clean than robots, says CR engineer Alex Nasrallah, who tests vacuums and says it takes only minutes to clean his small apartment with a stick vacuum versus 30 minutes or more with a robotic one. Plus, stick models often cost less than $500. One very powerful model is the Temco Pure One S11, which costs $350 and tops our cordless stick vacuum stains, earning excellent scores for cleaning carpets and pet hair. The only downside, many cordless stick vacuums tested have unfavorable predictor reliability with a generally high incidence of problems by the fifth year of ownership, according to a survey of CR members who bought new cordless stick vacuums between 2011 and 2021. Are tank printers a better buy than cartridge inkjet printers? Introduced about a decade ago, tank or reservoir top printers typically cost more than traditional carriage inkjet printers, but they can save you money when it comes to replacing ink. This is because tank printers have big reservoirs that you fill up from bottles that generally run between $12 and $30 each, costing only about $5 per year, about 600 printed pages. That's a big savings over the price of replacement cartridges needed for an inkjet printer. They often cost $25 or more each and don't store much ink, which means your cartridge costs can easily add up to $80 or more per year. Our printer ratings currently feature 18 tank models, mostly from two lines, Canon's Megatank and Epson's EcoTank. Both earn favorable owner satisfaction scores in CR surveys. The recommended Epson EcoTank ET2720, which we already looked at, printer on page 11, which earns excellent rating for printing photos and receiving good score for predicted reliability. We're not recommending any Canon Megatank printers because they received only fair predictability rating. CR Insights. Can adjustable pillows help you sleep better? Do you find yourself butching up your pillow under your head at night or trying to spread it out so that your neck isn't at an odd angle? You may want to try an adjustable pillow, which allows you to add or remove the pillow's filling, usually through a side zipper. The pillow manufacturer provides extra filling for this purpose, and you can keep making adjustments until your neck is at a perfect angle for your sleep style, whether you're a back, side, or stomach sleeper. Ideally, your spine and neck should be as neutral an angle as possible, says Chris Reagan, CR's project leader for pillow testing. All three pillows shown here received excellent ratings, and we'll look at those in a minute. And both in sleeper and our test for petite, average, and large, tall people. We tested several configurations for each pillow and found that changing the amount of filling in your pillow can have a big impact on the support it offers, as Reagan says. To decide which adjustable pillow is right for you, consider its resilience score. That gauges how easily the pillow can be fluffed back into shape after being depressed with weights in humid conditions to stimulate sweaty sleepers. Also look at our breathability score, how well a pillow helps dissipate moisture if you tend to sweat while you sleep. The more moisture a pillow is able to dissipate, the cooler you may feel as you sleep. Coop Home Goods Premium Adjustable Loft Pillow at $60, short of $90. Got a 5/5 of resilience and a 4/5 of breathability. CR's take, top of the heap in our testing. This pillow's memory foam and microfiber filling is comfortable and easily adjusted by the handful. Plus, it keeps its supportive, fluffy shape even after our tough, resilient test. Sleep Number Comfort Fit Ultimate at $150. It got an overall score of 85, 3/5 for resilience, so not that great on that, but 5/5 for breathability. CR's take. Inside this pillow, you'll find three identical layers of memory foam and a down alternative fibers. You can remove one or two for less support, though it's easier to adjust the filling to a good height. Some of our testers found the foam to be too hard. An avocado green at $90 got a 71 overall score. It was only 1/5 on resilience, but it was 5/5 for breathability. CR's take. Filled with very firm, dense chunks of certified global organic latex standard foam pieces and Kapok tree fibers. This pillow is easy to adjust, but our lab tests show it may not last long. It wouldn't fluff back in shape after our resilience test. And if you're looking to buy a hybrid, which hybrid SUV should you buy? If you're in the market for a hybrid SUV, you'd be trying to choose between one of these two popular models, the 2021 Honda CR-V and the 2021 Toyota RAV4 hybrids. They're both well-rounded, reliable, and importantly for a hybrid fuel efficient. Both earn CR's Green Choice designation. In fact, these two vehicles match up so closely in price, performance, dimensions, and available equipment that it can be hard to decide which to buy. Here are automotive experts compare the two so that you can figure out easily which one might be right for your family. The Honda versus the Toyota. The road test score, the Honda got an 80, the Toyota got a 76. Predicted reliability, the Honda was good, the Toyota, they really don't have a rating for it. Predicted owner phone satisfaction, they haven't been out long enough to get a rating. 0 to 60 mile per hour acceleration. The Honda was 8.5 seconds. The Toyota was 7.8 seconds. I'm laughing because I happened to be looking at a Porsche SUV just out of curiosity the other day. I can't afford $150,000 for a car. But it goes 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds. Driving range, 495 miles on the Honda, 540 miles on the Toyota. Roadside assistance, 3 years, the first 36 miles, 1,000 miles for the Honda. 2 years, unlimited miles for the Toyota. CR's take on the Honda. The slightly less expensive CR-V hybrid's higher overall score is partly due to its roomier rear seat, nice interior, and above-average predicted reliability rating, according to our survey of CR members who own these vehicles overall. The CR-V hybrid is also a bit quieter than the RAV4. It has a more impressive braking performance on both dry and wet surfaces, but the CR-V has a bit shorter driving range and slightly worse fuel economy than the RAV4. Note that the CR-V hybrid is not recommended for towing. CR's take. Both hybrids are fuel. Oh, this is on a Toyota. But the RA4 delivers slightly better on fuel economy. It also has more user-friendly controls, quicker acceleration than CR-V. Its average predicted reliability is good. Rating is good, but not on the same level as the CR-V's. In our braking test, it was hard to precisely apply pressure to the brake pedal to bring the RA-V to a smooth stop. Stops were long. If you want to be able to tow a small trailer, the RAV4's 1,750-pound towing capacity is appealing. And let's look at the time travel here for various things. Going green. In 1958, our test of washing machines that many use more than 25 gallons of hot water per cycle. We point readers towards models that use less. In 1960, CR measures air pollution in the heavily industrialized Upper Ohio River Valley near Pittsburgh using a densiometer above to measure the pollutants. In 1970, in April, more than 20 million Americans celebrate Earth Day for the first time. The Environmental Protection Agency is founded in December of that year. In 1980, nearly all of 400,000 respondents in a CR survey say they took at least one energy-saving action in the past year. In 1986, 40% of Americans live where polluting phosphates and laundry detergent is limited or banned. CR's top rating liquid, Tide, doesn't contain them. In 1990, our panelists test new flow shower heads, like Teledyne's Waterpik shower massage above. Actually, I have one of those. In 1993, we test two green outlet extensions that promise to reduce energy consumption by 25% a year, but we find they save only $11 a year. In 2010, stop preensive dishes before you go to the dishwasher, CR advises. Doing so wastes up to 6,500 gallons of your tap water per year. In 2019, WaterSense certified smart sprinkler controllers, which can save the average U.S. home 7,600 gallons of water per year. And in 2021, CR introduces the green choice for autos and washers. Turning the green washers on to save you money on page 20. It's actually in this edition. That's interesting. New reasons to get a desktop. And there's a picture of an Apple 24-inch iMac at $1,300 and up. With so many laptops lining the shelves of every electronics store, you may have forgotten all about the humble desktop. But there are plenty of reasons to get one for your home. Our tech experts say now is the time. A desktop computer offers a large, roomy display, perfect for working at home or streaming a movie, and there's enough computing power to handle the most demanding tasks, such as editing photos. Not to mention its inherently more ergonomic setup. A desktop can eliminate the need to hunch over a laptop, type on a combat keyboard, or fuss with cables when you use an external monitor. That may also be why desktop sales rose 42% from January to May 2021, compared with that same period the year before, according to the MPT Group, a market research firm. There are some great desktops on the market to meet that demand, including Apple's new 24-inch iMac, enticing consumers with a sleek look and fun color options, seven in all, including hot orange. But is it right for your home office? Our testers put the new iMac through rigorous lab tests with promising results, though it falls a little short of some all-in-one PC desktops we've tested, such as the 8P and Dell models, which we'll look at. But if you prefer Apple products, the new iMac has many virtues, including a 4.5K Retina high-resolution display that makes Microsoft Word documents and Netflix shows appear razor-sharp, a powerful M1 processor, and a built-in 1080 webcam with advanced image processing. No, you can't bring that desktop to your local coffee shop, but you may find that its power, visual clarity, and ease of use are worth the trade-off. Then there's the HP Envy, Hewlett Packard Envy, 32 at $2,000, scored an 82. And the Dell Inspirience, 5400 at 850, scored an 80. Countertop intelligence. Do more with your stand mixer. Special attachments promise all sorts of nifty ways to prep food with your stand mixer, including making fresh pasta or spiralizing veggie noodles out of squash, often called zoodles, been made from zucchini. But with some attachments costing more than $100, is making noodles in your mixer really worth the investment? CR bought and tested several attachments for two popular stand mixer brands, KitchenAid and Cuisinart, to find out. Most of the attachments do a good job, but some are easier to use than others, says Cindy Fisher, who oversees our mixer testing. Here's how one performed, each one performed when we put it to work on our lab. The KitchenAid got a 75 overall score. The Cuisinart got a 67. The KitchenAid has dozens of attachments, more than any other brand, and almost every attachment works with every model of KitchenAid stand mixers, even those that are decades old. This particular trial, we tested KitchenAid attachments on the KitchenAid Artisan Mini, which cost $350. The KSMPR three-piece pasta roller and cutter, $200. This attachment includes a pasta cutter in three sizes. The pasta making process takes time, but it's pretty easy once you find out know what to do. First, pass the pasta dough through the roller several times to flatten it into a pasta sheet. Adjust the roller to your desired thickness, then feed the flat sheets of dough through the pasta cutter section of the attachment. In our lab, it made beautiful strands of fresh spaghetti. The KSM-1 5-blade spiralizer, $100. Once you see how easy it is to make zoodles with this attachment, our testers say you may never buy them in the store again. Unlike the Cuisinart spiralizer, there's no prep required. Just pop a whole zucchini into the attachment spike and watch as it turns into a long, curling zoodles. But then cut the strands to any length you want. At the end, just the core of the vegetables we left, which you can still cook, too, if you want to. It's kind of cool. Okay, the Cuisinart. Nearly all Cuisinart attachments work with any Cuisinart stand mixer, and often are less expensive than the KitchenAid ones, which is odd for Cuisinart. For this trial, that was an editorial comment, by the way. For this trial, we tested an attachment on the Cuisinart Precision Master SM50, which is $250. Attachments are easy to pop on. Just remove the decorative plate on the front of the mixer first. P50 pasta extruder for $130. The extruder can make six pasta shapes, including spaghetti and fusilli. Feed small chunks of pasta down the tube. After a minute, it will push through the shape plate. Then use the attach cutter to chop noodles to any length. Our testers say it's easier to use and makes great pasta, but cleanup is tricky. We had to use a skewer to push dried pasta bits out of it. Cuisinart also makes a pasta roller and cutter attachment, which much like the KitchenAid roller left, but we have not tested it. Prep Express Spiralizer Slicer, $50. This spiralizer requires a little more prep time than the KitchenAid version, because you have to cut the vegetables into pieces small enough to fit into the feeder tube, which also means shorter zoodles. Still, we like the thin strands of squash it cut. Plus, this attachment does double duty. You can also use it as a slicer. We got perfectly thin slices of cucumbers and potatoes with just the right for homemade chips. And CR Money Saver. Resuming student loan payments. Oh, joy. At the big start of the pandemic, the Department of Education suspended payments on federal student loans with no penalty and zero interest. Debt collection against borrowers in default was also halted. But that pause is scheduled to end on September 30th, 2021, although there's talk about extending it now. When required payments resume, you'll get a notice from your loan servicer, but you should also double-check your amount to ensure any automatic payments you had previously set up are still in place. Many lenders give a break to interest if you auto-pay. Number two, if you're in a loan forgiveness program such as Public Service Loan Forgiveness, which requires 120 on-time payments, check with your loan servicer to make sure it's counting the months when payments were paused. Each paused month counts as an on-time payment. Number three, if paying will be a struggle now, apply to an income-driven repayment program that will limit your payment a percentage of what you earn. And number four, if the Department of Education extends student loan waivers again, considering making payments anyway if you can afford it. There's zero interest on paused loans, so your payments will go straight to the principal, meaning you can pay down the loan faster, and that's a great idea. Got moths? Here's how to protect your clothes. Ever pull on a cashmere sweater only to discover it has a new hole in it? That's telltale signs you have a moth problem. You may also notice small white caterpillars, such as larvae, tiny eggs, or excrement on your clothes, or moths fluttering around the closet. No matter which sign you see, you need to act quickly to stop an infestation. A single female moth may lay an average of 50 eggs. Then those babies will having babies within months, says Jennifer Brumfield. First, brush off any eggs, larvae, or excrement you see in a sealed plastic zipper bag to prevent them from reemerging and trash it. Then try one of the methods below to eliminate remaining pests. The heating method. The hottest setting on your dryer should be over 125 degrees. It can kill eggs or larvae on most items. But don't try this on delicate items, which should be taken to the dry cleaner, which heat and solvents can kill eggs and larvae too. What to do? Just press your non-delicate clothing, everyday pants and shirts, for example, directly into the dryer on the hottest setting for at least 30 minutes. Don't wet or wash the items first. The freezing method. Cold temperatures in your freezer can kill moths and eggs and larvae. This method is especially used for items that can't be dry cleaned or thrown in the dryer, such as belts and purses. What to do? Seal the items in airtight bags and place them in your freezer at a temperature lower than 20 degrees Fahrenheit for a week, or 72 hours if your freezer is colder than minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Let the items defrost fully before unbagging them, because fabric fibers can become brittle when frozen and can break. Method to skip. Natural moth repellents, including cedar, lavender, cloves, vinegar, and black pepper, don't repel moths, say entomologist Brumfield. Plus, cedar oil can damage wool sweaters and fine fabrics. Tell that to my mother. Pheromone taps are popular sticky glue moth catchers, but they attract only male moths, and they won't stop the female moths from continuing to lay eggs in your closet. Mothballs do work, but only because they're highly toxic. They can harm all living creatures, including you, your children, and your pets. Plus, your clothes end up smelling, just like mothballs. How about a couple quick uniform and humor and uniform jokes to end the night? One of our jet fighters crashed on a sandstorm outside 29 Palms Marine Base in California. Thankfully, no one was injured. I was assigned to help clean up the site by bagging the debris. My greatest challenge was simply getting the plastic bag open amid all that wind. But our sergeant major offered me some advice. Tuttle, he said, the trick is to be smarter than the bag. Don Tuttle, Mechanicsville, Virginia. During an ROTC drill in college, our sergeant took umbrage with a fellow student's choice of footwear. Those are the worst shoes I've ever seen, the sergeant shouted. After a few more choice, unprintable words, he demanded of the student, now what are you going to do about this situation? The student timidly replied, I'll mention it to my mother. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest of Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. Note that's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so very much for listening.